right. Well, hello, church family. My name is Andy Wells. I am the pastor of student ministries here at the church, and I'm so grateful to be with you this weekend and have the opportunity to kind of step in for Dr. Aiken as he's away at a family event. As a church, whether you've been with us in person or watching online, you know that we've been walking through the book of Daniel, and we're going to continue that journey tonight. Last week, you heard a powerful message on Daniel 3 about a faith that walks through fires. And since we looked at Daniel 3 last week, a bunch of highly intelligent people like yourselves, who are probably really good at counting, would expect that we would be jumping into Daniel chapter 4 this weekend. However, if you remember Dr. Aiken's sermon on chapter 2, he talked about the chiastic structure of the Aramaic portion of the book of Daniel. And so this structure, it provides us a mirror image in some ways of some themes throughout the book of Daniel. Chapters 2 and 7 are accounts of dreams where four kingdoms ultimately fall and an internal kingdom is set up. And then in chapters 3 and 6, it shows that faithful believers are thrown into certain death for not submitting to the law of the land, and ultimately how God continues to rescue his people. And finally, in chapters 4 and 5, they parallel each other as well, and they show that God will continue to topple worldly superpowers. So after Daniel 3 last week, today we are following it by its parallel chapter, chapter 6. Also, the real reason is that Dr. Aiken switched weeks on me. I was supposed to preach the weekend after Thanksgiving, and he moved it up, and he still wanted me to preach Daniel 6, so here we are, okay? So don't tell him I said that, but that's the real reason. But my hope this weekend is that through the account of Daniel and the lion's den, that we see that it's the little moments of life that prepare us for the big moments. You know, when I think about that idea of little moments and how that devotion can prepare us for big moments, I'm reminded of a gift that was given really to our oldest daughter, Cora, but she was just a toddler back then. And so the gift was some swim classes. And these weren't swim classes like I was used to. When I grew up, I did the YMCA, right? And it was all about the backstroke and things like that, but not these classes, right? You weren't trying to perfect the backstroke. You weren't trying to figure out how to dive without belly flopping. That's not what these classes were about. The program was called Infant Swim Rescue, and the idea is designed to save lives. And so while we understood, Jody and I, my wife, as we kind of understood the value in swimming lessons, honestly, it kind of felt like an inconvenience, right? Like we didn't ask for swim classes, and so now we got this commitment that we got to be a part of. So it's 8 weeks of classes. 5 days a week for 10 minutes. A 10-minute class. It took my wife longer to drive to the class than the actual class itself. And I didn't mention this, but at this time, we have a newborn. So my wife has the task of not only getting Cora, the toddler, ready, but also the infant ready and make sure everybody's strapped in, everybody has everything that they're supposed to have, get everything ready, get to the location early because you don't want to miss your 10-minute slot, and make sure that she's there on time. And it just kind of felt redundant at times. It felt repetitive. It felt like there was no point. There were times where honestly we questioned, like, is this really valuable? Is this really effective? Is this really working? But ultimately, besides all that, we're good parents. Like, we decided, yes, knowing how to swim is a good idea. And so we made the commitment. The idea behind the classes is that you train the child for the worst case situation. And if that scenario ever were to happen, then they kind of learn this technique of how to float on their back, and then they're able to breathe air until help comes. And so it's the daily repetition that's key, right? over and over again, the same motions, muscle memory is developed in the child. And that muscle memory allows them to flip themselves over until they can be safely rescued. But like I said, it's over and over again, day after day, class after class, the same motions, the same pool, the same instructor, 10 minutes a day, every day, little moments of learning to prepare the child for the big moment if it ever is needed. And so, as we look at Daniel 6, the same can be said about our relationship with Jesus. We must be daily devoted to the Lord, even when it may feel inconvenient, and willing to be faithful in our devotion to the Lord on a daily basis so that we are ready to respond in the big moments of life. And so here's what happens in the book of Daniel, right? Many times we focus on things like the fiery furnace or the lion's den. And we look at those things and these big picture ideas and we flip the pages like a children's book. We just pair it up next to Noah's Ark and Jonah being swallowed up by the whale. And they become these larger than life pictures, these larger than life tales. And we miss some of what God wants us to see. And so as we take a closer look tonight at chapter 6 this weekend, my hope is that we don't just see a larger than life picture, but that we see that it was Daniel's little moments that prepared him for his biggest moment. So let's jump in tonight. We're gonna read Daniel chapter 6. If you would join me in standing out of the honor of the reading of God's word. We're gonna read through the first 19 verses. I'm not making you stand for the whole chapter, but 19 is a lot as well. But let's go ahead and jump in together. So Daniel chapter 6, and it says this. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom. And over them, three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give an account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these high officials and satraps came and by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the counselors, and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. Verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knee three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now listen to this. As he had previously done. Verse 11, then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions?" And the king answered, "The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of the Lord's, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Thank you. You may be seated. So I've titled this message, The Little Moments That Prepare Us for the Big Moments. But before we jump in too far, I'd love to just pray real quick with you as we look at Daniel. God, you are so good. We love you, God. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. Father, we pray that tonight, that we wouldn't just see this bigger than life picture, but God, that we would see the little moments in our life matter. That the little moments in Daniel's life matter, and that you prepared him for the biggest moment. And God, would we have that same attitude? Would we learn from your word tonight? It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this whole idea, the idea of the little moments that prepare us for the big moments, it really kind of hinges on verse 10. I know we just read it together, but let me remind us. Daniel knew that the ordinance to not pray to anyone but King Darius was now a signed legal document. And with that information, knowing that, verse 10 says that he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had previously done. Some versions say, just as he has always done. But the truth is clear. Prayer and time with God was a regular practice of Daniel's. And it was his faithfulness in the little moments that prepared him to never compromise his convictions, but instead to make a stand for God. And so what he did mattered. He had done what he had always done. It mattered. The little moments in Daniel's life mattered. They mattered so much that he was able to make a stand for God. They mattered so much that the reason that we have the account of the lion's den is because of the little moments that prepared him for it. The little moments in Daniel's life mattered, and the little moments in ours do as well. John Maxwell says it this way, I can predict the long-term outcome of your success if you show me your daily habits. And today, I'm proposing that it's our little moments of faithfulness to the Lord that prepare us for life's big moments. And so the first thing that I want us to see, the first point for tonight is this, that our little moments reveal God's work in us. Our little moments reveal God's work in us. Daniel was a man of integrity and honor. And it was clear, you could see it. He continued to rise up to prominent positions within the kingdoms. And it happened over and over again. King after king, empire after empire, Daniel's convictions and faithfulness are recognized and rewarded. We see it in chapter 2 with Nebuchadnezzar, and he gave him high honors and many gifts and made him ruler and chief. Then in chapter 5, we see it again with Belshazzar, and he clothed him in purple and gold chains and made him third ruler in the kingdom. And then we just saw King Darius, right? He makes him a high official and had planned to put him over the whole kingdom. Each king. Each ruler over the exiles saw something was different about Daniel. So what was it? What was it about Daniel that was different? What was it about him that continuously had him rising to these prominent positions? Well, verse 3 kind of explains the why behind Daniel's continual rise. It says this, because an excellent spirit was in him. See, it was what was in Daniel that was recognized over Daniel himself. And really, this isn't the first time. If we look back at chapter 5, we see a number of accounts talking about Daniel. It said, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, insight, understanding, and wisdom of the gods. an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding. And then the king at that time, he actually says, I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you. And so it was God's work in Daniel through the spirit that is revealed and ultimately recognized. In difficult times and opportunities of promotion, Daniel always rose to the top because of God's work in him. So is that what would be said about us? Would somebody notice the spirit working in us? When Jody and I were young, and I mean like no kids young, when we were young, Jody had a coworker that often said to her, I want what you have. And on her own, she couldn't identify that it was the Spirit of God that made Jody different. She didn't understand that we had a faithful community because of our collective commitment to the Lord, but she saw something different. She saw something that she wanted. She saw something that she desired. So my question for us tonight is, what's revealed in you? What do your coworkers or family or neighbors see in you? When things are bad, do you suffer with integrity? When things are good, do you celebrate with humility? Church, this is how the world is going to see God. Not in a brash Facebook post, but in the way God is revealed in the little moments of our lives. Jesus himself talks about this in Matthew 5. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and do what? Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That it's through our little moments, through the way that we respond to situations, that non-believers will see God and give him glory. That's what our lives should do. Our lives should show people Jesus, and they should glorify him because of that. Daniel had a practice of prayer, a commitment to not compromise, that revealed God's work. What about us? But see, our daily devotion to the Lord, our consistent commitment to the little moments don't always get us promotions. Sometimes, and our second point is that our little moments prepare us for life's tests. Let's see what it says in verse 4 again. It says that the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. Daniel's about to get promoted over the other officials, and surprise, they don't like it. And maybe you can relate, right? Maybe you're at your workplace and there's somebody who gets promoted and you don't like it. And see, a lot of times we like to connect ourselves to Daniel and the rebellion and stand up and I'm Daniel. But a lot of times we're a lot more like the satraps, right? And we just get jealous of the person who is getting the promotion. We get frustrated that it's not us. And so what do we do in those situations? Are we scheming behind their backs? Are we complaining to everybody else? Man, that was my promotion. Why did she get it? See, these guys, these satraps had this like militia group and they begin to scheme and plan. And they're not just trying to get the promotion instead of Daniel. No, they're trying to get him killed, right? And listen, I know that 2020's been kind of weird and stuff, but hopefully, you know, you're staying away from elaborate schemes to kill your coworkers. I would hope that I can trust this group and that's not where you're going. But let's look at the rest of that verse. It says, but they could find no ground or complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error was or fault was found in him. See, the fight for power is real, right? I mean, just turn on Fox News or CNN and the biggest power struggle in the world is on full display, right? One candidate is leading. No, the other candidate is leading. Wait, there's new ballots we found. Wait, we have a president. We don't have a president. Voter fraud, lawsuits. And we just keep spinning and spinning and spinning. Both parties struggling for power. But unlike our politicians, Daniel was doing everything right. They couldn't find any fault. And I think it's important to note that at this point in Daniel's life, he's been in exile for 70 years. This dude is like 80 something, right? And so he's up there in age. And what happens is they spied on his whole life. They're looking at everything. And they couldn't find anything. No questionable search history. No speeding tickets. Not even a late library book. They couldn't find anything on Daniel. The only thing that they could find, the only fault that he had, was his faithfulness to the law of his God. He's kind of like that person, right, that they're in a job interview and they say, excuse me, could you share with us one weakness you may have? And they say, I'm kind of a perfectionist. Translation, my only fault is how awesome I am, right? That's kind of where Daniel's at. But would the same be true about us, right? Like if somebody was doing this deep dive on us, would the way that we act at work, the way that we act at home, the way that we act at our schools, if every rock was overturned, every closet opened, what would be said about us? And so here's a guy with no error or fault, and yet trouble still finds him. So they lie and they scheme and they get to Darius and he makes this decree. And the question we always hear, right? The question we like to ask is, why do bad things happen to good people? Right? He's a good guy. They couldn't find any fault in him. But that's not Daniel's question. Daniel does what he's always done. You want to know why? Because he expects the persecutions and tests of this world. He understands he's an exile. That where he is not his home, so he expects trouble, yet at the same time, he trusts God's plan. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us either. We're exiles too. Christians are like immigrants, foreigners, temporary residents, refugees. We do not belong. We are outsiders. We are living on the edge of culture, or at least we're called to be. And if we're living for God, we should expect persecution. Jesus talks about this in John 15 when he says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before you. And if they persecuted me, they're gonna persecute you. And listen, we're probably not facing a literal lion's den, but we shouldn't be shocked that we don't get the invite to hang out after work because you're the church guy. Or we shouldn't be surprised when a friend throws us under the bus to save their own tail. And we should understand that cancer strikes both the just and the unjust. And that's why our commitment to the little moments of faithfulness are so important, because they prepare us for the big moments of testing that will come. The next thing I want us to see is that our little moments display who we are. See, this is Daniel's normal pattern of life. This is who he was. Daniel's life of faithfulness didn't start at this big moment. He didn't have this issue and something big came into his life and he's like, oh man, I guess this is kind of a big deal. Like I should talk to God about this. Like I should spend some time in prayer. No, this was like his normal way of doing things. This is who he was. And this makes sense to us, right? Like let's say that special guy gets down on a knee and he pulls out that little black box. Like, that's probably not the time to start praying about if he's the one, right? Like, we don't just wait till the big moments. God wasn't Daniel's emergency contact. Daniel went to God in the big moments, but it was just what he'd always done. Daniel was already a man of convictions. It was already his daily practice. And sometimes that mundane feeling, not flashy, no credit, daily faithfulness in the little moments, it was what was preparing Daniel for these larger than life big moments that we see all throughout his life. Let me hit on verse 10 again. It says this: when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had previously done. Many times we hear about Daniel's courage in the midst of this big moment, how he rebelled against the pagan king and he made a bold public stand for God. And that's true. in a way. He did make a stand for God, and we should be willing to make our own stand for God. However, Daniel's response to the new law was less of a brash act of rebellion to an unjust, ungodly governmental system. It was about Daniel's life of obedience. His faithfulness in the little moments. It was his conviction to not compromise to the culture that was revealed. And so in a marriage study that Jody and I did a number of years ago, there's a guy, Emerson Eggerich, and he makes this point that the cross didn't make Jesus the Son of God. It revealed that he was the Son of God. And the same is true with us. Whether it's an argument with our spouse or a big moment in life, these moments don't make us who we are. They reveal who we are. Listen, they'll reveal that you're a person of character, or they won't. They'll reveal that you're a person of love, or they won't. They'll reveal that you're a person of prayer, or they won't. They'll reveal that you're a person of conviction, or they won't. If we go back to the beginning of the exile, right, in chapter 1, we see Daniel faithful in the little moments. When Daniel was just a teenager, King Nebuchadnezzar was offering the good life, the finest foods for just a little bit of conformity. But Daniel wouldn't compromise. He wouldn't eat of the king's food. Daniel had already drawn his line in the sand saying, I'm not going any further. Daniel Aiken, John's dad, says in his book on Daniel that the decision to go to the lion's den had been settled many years earlier. The cost had already been counted. To be untrue to his God was never an option. Have we counted the cost? Have we drawn a line in the sand? We see Daniel's faithfulness to God in the little moments is being revealed by his faithfulness to God in the big moments. And see, our commitment to not compromise, it matters. Your daily practices, your decisions you make, the things that you do, the little moments, they matter. And even when they feel mundane, or when they feel like you aren't getting anything out of it, or when you feel like you're not hearing from God, our daily time with the Lord, a daily commitment to prayer, a daily resolve to not compromise your faith, these little moments matter. And they're preparing your heart for the bigger moments of life. In his daily devotional book, New Morning Mercies, Paul David Tripp says, I tell people all the time that they don't live in big moments. We make only a few grand decisions in our entire lives. We live in the little moments. So our character is not set in three or four big moments, but in the 10,000 little moments of life. And so I had a former student, and she kind of was praying through this process of deciding, you know, about her boundaries in life. And this is in relation to dating relationships. And before she ever got into a dating relationship, she decided what her boundaries were going to be as she prayed through that. For her, the line in the sand that she was drawing was that she was only going to kiss her husband. And that's not everybody's line, but it's how God led her. And sure enough, she ended up in a dating relationship. And because the line in the sand was already made, she kept her convictions. After 5 years of dating and plenty of talks of marriage, she was sure that he was the one. And she just knew that engagement was around the corner. Instead, in the middle of the night, in a conversation filled with tears, she told Jody that he'd broken things off seemingly out of nowhere. After the dust settled, she was able to look back and she was able to be grateful that she had drawn a line. That the boundary that she had set up for the little moments prepared her to stand strong to her convictions. And even though that relationship, it didn't end with the fairy tale ending that former student would have wanted, she had no regrets on her actual wedding when she kissed her husband, knowing that her walk with the Lord was not compromised. Don't we all want to say that? That we didn't compromise our faith when the big moments of life come? That when the opportunity to get ahead at work is just a few lies, white lies away, we don't do it. When the better grade on the final exam is just as easy as copying answers, that we don't do it. When the instant gratification at the cost of our purity is just a click away, that we don't do it. What if our faithfulness in the little moments is preparing us to stand strong in the big moments to come? And so I kind of started to tell you about this idea of the infant swim rescue program that my daughter Cora got to be a part of, that we got to drive to every day for 8 weeks for 10 minutes. I started to tell you about that, and in a similar way, the hope of the ISR classes is that through this repetition of the little moments, the practices and all that kind of stuff, that she would be prepared for the worst case scenario, the big moment. And so it was this idea of muscle memory and continually doing the same things over again, even though it felt like an inconvenience. And so here we are, we're at the last day. And the last day, they ask you to bring your child in, and they're supposed to be fully clothed. Jeans, sneakers, little jacket. And now I'm going to be honest, my wife took Cora to 98% of the classes without me. But, you know, big moment, I'm there, right? And I'm kind of like, what's going on here? I thought this was, why is she fully clothed? I'm trying to figure this out, right? And Joey said, no, it's okay. And so it gets to this point where they like, Cora, you know, I'm like freaking out. And the next thing I know, Cora's in the water. And Cora's in full clothes. And I'm sitting there in what felt like forever, but it was probably just a few seconds. She's kind of flailing. And I'm like trying to jump in the pool. And Joey's like, hold on. And I'm freaking out, and it's getting crazy, and I don't really know what's going on. She's wobbling and splashing around, but then you could see it happen. The little moments of her daily practice, they kicked in, and the muscle memory, the repetition, the daily drives, the inconvenience, it all came together, and she got calm. She rolled herself over, and she did what she had always done. And so a two-year-old, fully clothed, floated calmly in the middle of the pool because of the previous 8 weeks that she had spent 10 minutes a day practicing the habit of floating. Cora's daily preparation in the little moments led her to being ready for the worst case scenario. So our last point is this: our little moments lead to glorifying God. So we're gonna finish up the chapter real quick. 19 through 28, it says this. Then at break of day, the king rose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out with a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." And the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded that those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they and their children and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones to pieces. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and to fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall never end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So our little moments lead us to glorifying God. The meaning of Daniel's name, I don't know if you know this or not, is "God is my judge." How clearly is this represented in the protection of Daniel in these verses? It wasn't the officials or the satraps. It wasn't the decree that couldn't be broken. It wasn't even King Darius, who seemingly held the power of life and death in his hands. No, the only judge for the faithful believer is God. Does this mean that we'll never have difficulty in our lives? Of course not. And the more that we make a stand for God, the more that culture is going to come after us. But King Darius, after a rough night's sleep, he comes to Daniel, checks on him, and says, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you? And you can almost hear Daniel respond back, yeah, I'm fine. What's for breakfast? The Bible says Daniel is rescued because he's blameless and he believes. See, our issue is that we aren't innocent. But we can trust the one who was and who went into the pit for us. Jesus took on our sin and death to save us from sin and death. Daniel, like the whole Bible, points us to Christ. The account of Daniel being rescued by God from death foretells of Jesus. Like Daniel, men schemed against Jesus. Like Daniel, no charges would stick against Jesus. Like Daniel, Jesus was arrested while praying. Like Daniel, he was found guilty for breaking their laws. Like Daniel, the politician of his day, Pilate, was unsuccessful in trying to stop his execution. Like Daniel, Jesus descended into a pit. It was covered with a stone and it was sealed. Like Daniel, Jesus's friends come to the tomb early. Like Daniel, when the stone rolls away early in the morning, Jesus walks out alive. Like Daniel, it results in the glory of God being declared among the nations. Unlike Daniel, Jesus actually died. Daniel was brought back to life from the pit of death. And King Darius made a declaration that demanded a response of all peoples of that time. Jesus really was brought back to life and defeated sin and death, and his life and death and resurrection demand a response from all people for all time. See, the only way that we're gonna be able to do this, the only way we're gonna be able to be like Daniel is if we're like him in the sense that the Spirit of God is working in us, that the Spirit of God is what's recognized in us. It's the Spirit of God that prepared Daniel through the little moments for the big moments. Daniel was blameless, no fault found in him. The same can't be said for us. We fall short of the glory of God every day. We need Jesus. And we need Jesus to save us from our sins, and we need Jesus and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in us so that in our little moments, God's work in us is revealed. We need Jesus and we need the Spirit in us so that in the little moments of our lives, we're prepared for life's tests. So that in the little moments, who we really are is on display. And ultimately, our greatest joy would be that so that in our little moments, that God is glorified. And so in a moment, I'm gonna pray. And during that time, pastors are gonna be up front. And see, here's the thing, is that Jesus's work on the cross, it demands a response. Just like King Darius demanded a response for the God of Daniel, Jesus's work on the cross demands a response from us. So maybe today, when that time comes, you need to come forward and you need to pray with a pastor about making a decision for Jesus and allow the Spirit to begin to work in you. Or maybe, more likely, most of us in this room, maybe we need to evaluate our little moments. Do you have little moments throughout your week that you're committed to the Lord in prayer? Do you have little moments in your life that you're reading God's word? Do you have little moments in your life where you're a part of authentic community? Because those are the little moments. Those are the little moments that will walk us through the big moment tests that will come in our life of exile. And we'd love to walk through that with you. So let me pray for us, church, and then you'll have a chance to respond. Heavenly Father, we do love you. God, thank you that you love us. God, thank you that even though we often fall short, Lord, that you sent your son, Jesus. that you sent him to live a perfect life, to die on a cross, to be buried in a tomb, and to be raised 3 days later, to defeat sin and death in our lives. And God, you call us to respond. And so maybe in that room, in this room tonight, maybe that response is a first-time decision. Maybe it's realizing that I'm not walking in those little moments with grace and with love that only comes from you. Maybe it's realizing that tonight, I need Jesus. If that's you tonight, I want you to come forward when we play this song. But maybe, just maybe, for the rest of us, there's a realization that, yes, I need Jesus too. And I need him in the little moments. And I need to make him a priority in my life. And I need to relook at those moments and make sure that I'm setting aside those times that I can be built up in those little moments. Because the big moments will come. So Father, we just ask for a response. God, would you move in hearts right now? If there's someone that needs to respond to you for the first time, would they be bold enough to respond and come forward and talk to a pastor? If there's somebody that needs to respond and get their little moments right, would they come forward and do that? Or maybe it's just the idea of linking arms with us as a church. Maybe it's a next steps kind of thing, a baptism or becoming a member, getting plugged into community. We'd love to walk through all of that with you. So Father, to your name be all the glory. May our lives, may our little moments set us up to glorify you, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.